Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 30th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Mike Cox. Mike is pastor to Mark Payne, who was on our podcast a few months back. Mark is the superintendent with Brassfield and Gorey that has been working on our building. Mark had such wonderful things to say about Mike and his ministry at the racetrack, so we thought, let's bring him on the Project 119 podcast and learn more about God's work in Alabama. Thank you, Mike, for joining us today. We can't wait to hear from you as you read God's Word with us and share your testimony of God's faithfulness.
Thank you, Miss Mary, for having me. I'm honored to be here today, and I'm looking forward to sharing some time together. We're going to begin in John chapter 20, looking at verses 11 through 23. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father hath sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Our next reading is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 80. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. We will now look in Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar.
Thank you so much, Mike, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Thank you as well for partnering and preaching the good news about Jesus in Forestdale at Church H2O. We want to hear a little bit about you and that story. First, how did you come to faith, and what has that journey of faith been like with Jesus?
Well, it's a joy again to be with you, Miss Mary. And my story goes back to my early childhood. I grew up in a preacher's home, so I was carried to church from the moment I came home from the hospital. And hearing the gospel each and every week, God began to work in my heart. At the age of 5, I had surrendered my life to the Lord. I was actually sitting at home. God was working in my heart, thinking about what my Sunday school teacher had been teaching me. And I went to my bedroom and knelt down beside my bed and just asked Jesus, forgive me my sins, become my Savior. And I was so excited at the age of 5, I ran in the living room to tell my little brother, who was 3. And I said, hey, I just asked Jesus in my heart. Do you want to ask him in your heart?
You were already an evangelist.
Yes, I was excited. And then I went in the kitchen and told my mother. And so I had an early start with Christ.
And then along the way, how did you know that you wanted to be a pastor?
Well, that started early as well. So growing up in a preacher's home, I used to have a problem falling asleep in church. And my dad used to wake me and he said, Michael, he said, it's not a good example, the preacher's son sitting on the front row falling asleep. So he said, here, start taking notes. So I started to take notes. As I started taking notes, I was led to start studying the Bible on my own. As I studied the Word of God, I began to write my own outlines, my own sermons. At the age of 10, I was preaching to my brother in the living room, and I said I always try to take up an offering, but he never gave anything. But it was at the age of 12 that I really sensed God was calling me. I struggled with it because I didn't want it to be something I did because my dad was a preacher. So I went to another elderly preacher and talked with him, and he kind of told me what Samuel was told by Eli. The Lord's calling you, just say, here am I, Lord, use me. And I did that at the age of 12, and I've been preaching for these last several years.
That gives me chill bumps. Thank you for sharing that story. And in our communication, I learned that your sons are also pastors, so there's 5 generations of pastors.
Yes, our family is filled. I got uncles and nephews and cousins as well. But yes, I'm privileged to follow my dad's footsteps. But 5 generations now, my sons are serving in ministry with me. I have the privilege they're on staff with me at our church. And so to serve along with your children, there's no greater joy than to know your children are walking with Christ.
3 John 4, is that correct?
That's correct.
That's my mom's favorite verse. Now, we kind of jumped into your children, but I want to hear a little bit about your wife. How did you meet your wife? And tell me all about your family.
Well, my dad being a preacher, we moved around a lot every few years. I lived here in Pelham area, went to school in Birmingham, but in the middle of my senior year, God moved my family to Virginia Beach. And it was in the middle of my senior year going to a new school, I met my wife in my senior class in Virginia Beach.
Wow.
So in a very small private Christian school, there were 12 of us in our senior class. And that's where we began to meet and to date. We've been married this June. We'll make 33 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how many sons do you have? Do you have a daughter as well?
So I have 2 sons and I have a daughter. My daughter, her husband as well, served with us there at the church. She just started our new toddler ministry. So I'm excited about that. And I love that my kids love the Lord. They're all married, and I now have 5 grandchildren. So.
And what is the age span?
My oldest grandchild is 6. And then I have the 2 youngest ones are 5 days apart. They're only 6 months old. So we've got 2 granddaughters and 3 grandsons.
You've got a lot going on.
Yes, makes us bankrupt at Christmas time now.
I want to hear about Church H2O because Mr. Mark Payne, who is on staff with Brassfield and Gorey, is our superintendent. And when he was on the podcast, he told us all about his church. So tell me about the inception of the church and what God is doing there?
Well, Church H2O is located in Forestdale, but we are moving to a community called Savory. It's kind of halfway between Forestdale and a community further down the highway called Summerton. And it puts us a little more central to everyone, but God opened up doors of outreach in that particular community that we're going to expand even greater. We bought property on a river there, so we wanted a name with water. So we have H2O, and that's also our mission statement, which stands for help and hope to others. But it comes from my favorite Bible story, John chapter 4, Jesus with a woman at the well, and he offers us living water. And so we're praying that we can offer the living water of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And that community out there is, just like every community, is in great need of Christ.
I love the symbolism behind your name and the fact that you want to see people come to know Jesus and experience his living water. That is also the impetus for a ministry you started at the Speedway in Sayre. Tell us more about that story.
Well, it was a year of COVID, and I was bored. It was August 2020. I was sitting at home on a Saturday night, and I thought, I'm tired of just sitting here in the house. I want to get out and go somewhere. I'd never been to a race before, but I liked racing. So I knew there was a racetrack, Sayre Speedway, right up the highway. And so I decided to go that night. As I did, I went there. I was excited. I was taking pictures and videos. But during the middle of the night, sitting in the grandstands all by myself, no one went with me. It was just me. But it was me and the Lord that night, because he got my focus off of the race for a moment, and he began speaking to my heart, and he said, "Preacher, look around you." And so I began to look around the grandstands, and it was filled with people. And God said, "What do you see?" I said, "I see people." He said, "But what do you see with those people?" And I looked again, and at that moment, God awakened my heart of something that I'd lost for, I had it as a child, but kind of through my adult years, I kind of got away from the burden for evangelism. And in that moment, God said, "Look at the people." And I said, "These people need Jesus." And God turned my eyes back down to the racetrack, and I was sitting kind of in the middle of the grandstands. And as I looked down the racetrack, I had this image of me down there preaching to these grandstands filled with people. And I began to pray, "Lord, make this happen." So I asked the owner of the racetrack, could we rent the racetrack, host a family event here where we'd have some activities and games for the kids, we'd feed everybody, but at the end of it, I'm going to bring everybody to the grandstands and share a message. And they said, "We're not going to charge you, we'll let you do that." So October of 2020, we held our very first family fun day, and we shot for a goal of 500, we had 600, we had 24 give their life to Jesus Christ, and we've just continued to do it every year since. And every Saturday, I'm there leading in prayer, and also I do a junior fan club where we share the gospel with children before the races start. We gather the children up in the grandstands in a particular section at 7:30. The races always start at 8, and so I'm meeting with the kids. I have a driver come up, talk to them about driving, answer questions about the racing world, and they speak for about 10 minutes. Then we share the gospel for about 10 minutes. Not only are the children hearing it, but all the parents and adults sitting around in the grandstands are also hearing. So God's really used that. Afterwards, we play some games. We have some fun with the kids and give out some prizes. Then I also go to the driver's meeting, and we'll have prayer with our drivers there. Then go up to the tower, and there they say it's straight up 8 o'clock. Please stand, take your hats off for prayer in the national anthem. I lead in prayer, and I leave the singing the national anthem to another guy named Danny.
It sounds like you have developed such a relationship with the owners of the racetrack and with the drivers. Tell me about an experience with one of the drivers or someone that works there.
So my very first time I went there to lead in prayer. So one of the owners had realized I had come to the track and said, "Why don't you come and lead in prayer?" So I offered to, and
one of the drivers put a wristband on me and carried me around the pits to give me an up-close look at all the race cars. From that time, I got hooked. And so Mr. Billy, who's been there for a long time, carried me around, and now I get to stand in the towers with him, and joy that is. His grandson is one of the MCs there. But I've got personal relationships that I've built with the drivers. We've started hosting in the spring before the season starts. We host a Sayre Speedway Day at our church. We invite them to bring their race cars to the church. We recognize them. And God has used that as well for deepening the relationship. I realize that I want these people to look at me, and they call me track pastor. And I want them to really consider me as their pastor, whether they attend my church or not. People, even fans, will stop me on Saturday nights throughout the night and say, could you pray for me or could you pray for a loved one? Mm. I enjoy that.
What is the racetrack season? When does it start and when does it end?
So Sayre Speedway, we call it the South Action Track. It is a quarter mile round track. It's asphalt track. It starts the first Saturday of April, and it goes through the last Saturday of August, depending on rain, of course. They always, the owners have always shut it down Easter weekend, so I've always been grateful for that. I have been appreciative of God opening this door for us, but I did not realize till owner told me, she said, we have been praying for God to open a door here for the gospel. And here I was, a preacher on the other side of town, needing an awakening to get back into the community with the gospel. And God was just taking their prayers and my prayers and bringing us together in fulfillment of both prayers being answered.
If someone wanted to help with this ministry, what are avenues of support?
Well, we love people to get involved. We've workers that help out with the Junior Fan Club. I'm getting a little older, so I don't mind other people helping with the game time. Some sometimes donate for buying candy or giving out prizes that we do. Others I've got in contact to help me with the drivers. We're trying to deepen that relationship and connection with drivers as well. So I'm not the only one to pray. Sometimes I'll call on somebody else to help me in leading in prayer.
You also have a recovery ministry that has started in Sayre. How did that come about, and what is God doing in your heart and in the lives of others?
So it was after the Lord opened the door at Sayre Speedway that we had purchased some land in the Sayre community. Saw that this was, it's kind of like the Lord said, cast your net on the other side. And so we went to this community, and God has just flourished our outreach there, and the harvest is plenteous. Right behind the property where we're going to build our new campus, there is a community called Sayre Camp. It was an old mining camp, and because of it shutting down, poverty began to infiltrate the area. Along with poverty came drugs and alcohol. And it was early 2022. I was driving around in the community, and I said, Lord, I want something right here in the middle of this camp, something right here in the middle of this neighborhood that we can reach among the drug addicts particularly. And it was 2 months later, I got a phone call. A lady called, and she said, you don't know me. She said, but I was given your name. I heard your church is moving to this area. We have a nonprofit, and we have a park, and we have two buildings there in the middle of the camp. And we've run our race, and we are ready to turn it over to someone else. Would your church be interested? Well, I said, yes, certainly I would. And it was at that moment God provided for us the community center right there in the middle of the camp. And so every Thursday night, we run a recovery ministry up there. We're a first step recovery. So people come to us, we help them see, number one, their need for Christ as their Savior. Secondly, their need to get off of drugs. And when they become willing, then we pay and sponsor to put them in a full-time rehab facility, a faith-based facility. And so there's several that we partner with, and we put them in there, and a year later they graduate, and then we try to help them get back on their feet.
Before we end, I would like to know if you'd like to make any commentary on one of the passages that you read.
Back to our John passage. Jesus had said to his disciples, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And the Lord wants us to get out in the communities, in the highways, in the hedges, and compel them to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with a lost, dying world. It's God's will that none perish, but that all would come to righteousness through Jesus Christ. And many of us as Christians sometimes become complacent and comfortable, and we neglect the lost around us. It was at that moment that I, as a pastor, had a revival in my heart at a racetrack where God said, "Look around you, preacher, see the people." The Bible says many times Jesus saw them and had compassion. And I'm so thankful God brought me back to a place of having compassion on people and a burden for lost souls being saved. And he stirred that among the members of my church. It's not just preachers, but the lay people are inviting people to church. They're sharing Jesus, and they're seeing lives changed. And a fire has it ignited that is just growing and growing.
We are so encouraged by your story, and we pray that the Lord would help us to sense that same urgency for evangelism. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for being on the podcast. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I will. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you so much for Miss Mary. I thank you for Mount Brook Baptist Church here. Thank you for this ministry of this podcast, the Word, the reading of your powerful living Word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take these words and use them in the hearts and lives of those listeners right now. And God, I pray that you would help all of us to have a stirring of compassion for a lost, dying world. You will move in our hearts to see wherever we live, every community, that there are people that need to hear the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what you're doing at our church. May you continue to bless, and may you be glorified in all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.